I like being told the truth. I like conservative philosophy. And our current president does and has all of those characteristics. I like winners of all kinds. I hate to lose. I guess that's why I like Elijah as one of our Bible heroes. He was a winner. Well, most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time he was a winner. And this morning we're going to look at a very familiar passage. You all know the story, and you've probably heard many different applications about it. But we're going to look at that story. We're going to look at it chunks at a time. And so let's have a word of prayer before we get started, and we'll get into this. And I hope you begin to see where we're headed. Father, we want to do what you want us to do. And Father, we want to be what you want us to be. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. We just spin our wheels. So Father, this morning as we begin this study in your word, and as we look at it week after week for a couple, two or three, 4 weeks, Father, may your Holy Spirit answer our prayers. May he provide to us what we don't have and what we need. And Father, may you be glorified by everything that is said and done. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings 18, verses 20 through 24. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Israel was spiritually lost under Ahab. They did not do anything that God requested them to do. They'd wandered far from the place where God wanted them to be. They'd gone into idolatry. And God sent one man to call the whole nation back to him. And that one man, Elijah, knew that he served a God of fire, and he knew that God was not shy to withhold the fire when it could be used to demonstrate the power of God in the lives of the people. At this point, I want to ask two questions. These are very serious questions. I'm very serious when I ask these questions. I haven't asked them in a long time. I haven't asked them myself in a long time, but in recent weeks I have. And so this is addressed to each one of you who are sitting here in this auditorium this morning. When is the last time that you have seen the fire of God in the ministry of God to his people? When is the last time that you have seen the fire of God in his ministry to his people? In Hebrews 13:8, we hear something. We have a verse that explains to us what the church is supposed to be, what we are supposed to be. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the way that God operated years ago, as many as 2,000 years ago, as many as 4,000 years ago, he still operates today. He does. We lose sight of that sometimes. Elijah knew, because the people had drifted away from God, they'd gone into idolatry, they were worshiping Baal, they were not worshiping God. He knew that it was going to take something spectacular to move their hearts. So he challenged the people, called them together, and he challenged them. Second question, when is the last time that your heart was stirred by the fire of God? Brings tears to my eyes, people. It's been so long since I've seen the fire of God working in the lives of his people. And that's not right. That's not the God that we serve. When we look around, it looks like the fire has gone out of the church. Oh, maybe not totally, but just a little ember here and a little ember there. But overall, where's the fire? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. There should be fire. There should be. And yet I don't see it. Elijah was sort of in that situation. Israel had lost its fire. It was worshiping the wrong stuff. It was going about worship the wrong way. So he called all the people together, and he reminded the people that the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Verses 25-29. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Now, we can read this passage with a critical spirit and think to ourselves that these prophets of Baal were a bunch of foolish fanatics. And for the most part, we'd be right. But if we look around today, we don't have to look very far till we see churches who are operating the same way. They play the music so loud that they actually have to give out earplugs to some of the older folks who attend church there. And the reason that they do that is not to worship God, but to stir up the emotions. Because music has a way of doing that, and if you think it doesn't, you take a 2 or 3 year old and sit them down in an atmosphere of that kind of music and see what they do. They'll start boogieing to the music, swaying, dancing around. Not because they're doing anything wrong. They're doing what the music is causing them to do. And the music can be used for the same purpose in an adult's life. And that's why it's being used. It's the world's way of reaching people. And when the world reaches people, they become people of the world, not people of God. Oh, they'll tell you we had so many saved this Sunday, and it'll be in the hundreds. But you ask them, where are those people? Where's the evidence? Where's the changes? Where's the bars closing? And it's not happening, people. It's not happening. That kind of service, that kind of church, is designed to elicit physical feelings and not spiritual experiences. In Elijah's time, the prophets of Baal did exactly the same thing. Their appeal was strictly to the physical, and I would imagine that the people who were watching also got involved. Now, like I said, if you take a 2 or 3 year old and set them down in that kind of music, you will see them begin to respond to it physically, not spiritually. God was not what was being thought about. Pleasure and entertainment is what was being thought about. Not a spiritual experience with God. Not a communion with God, which is what we are all here for. We are here not to be entertained, I hope, but to experience God in our own hearts, in our own lives. Experiences that will change us and make us more what Jesus wants us to be. Elijah made fun of the prophets of Baal because he knew that God was not going to answer them. They were going about it all the wrong way. His making fun of the prophets just really made them more desperate to force their God to answer. Like trying to make a stone answer or a carved statue answer. By the time they'd gotten tired, late in the afternoon, nothing had happened. There was nothing of any consequence. And it was time for the only person who knew God to act. Look at verse 30. And Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. He said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. If you will notice here, Elijah went back to the old ways. He built the altar according to the word of the Lord. He did what God had told him to do previously. He did what they had been doing for at least 1,500 years up to this point. The old ways are not bad, people. In fact, the old ways are God's ways. The new ways may not be God's ways. Oh, there may be some good things in them. I don't know. I don't read about them in the Bible. But Elijah did a lot of things in preparing this sacrifice for God that the people might have misunderstood. And that's where we need to be sure this morning, is that we understand what God is saying and what God is trying to do in your life and in my life. I don't just mean around the outside of it. I mean within it, in our hearts. Elijah poured water. Now, we all know, and the people at that time know, that water doesn't burn very good. But he didn't do it just one time. He did it 3 times. Because he wanted to make sure that in the people's mind, there was no way that this sacrifice was going to get burned up. Because he needed something spectacular. He had the people's attention. Now, what's that idiot doing pouring this water all over? And remember, they were also in a drought at that time, and this water was rather precious. So he had him do all this water. And they may have thought that, well, he's just trying to give himself an excuse why this isn't going to happen. But I find it sort of interesting. He had their interest at this point. What could possibly happen at this point? Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Some people might say that Elijah had faith in God to do the impossible. Elijah had come to accomplish one purpose: to cause the people to return to their faith in God, the God of heaven, the God of Israel. If Elijah had just come to offer a sacrifice, nobody would have paid attention, because they weren't paying any attention at that point. So Elijah had to do something different, something that the people would notice. He had to go about it in a way that he did not get credit, but that God got credit. And that's maybe where the church is failing today. Men in many times are getting the credit for what's happening, for the big churches, for the mega churches. It's the man leading it. It's not God building it. Sometimes in the smaller congregations, God is there. You can feel him. You can experience him. The people, when they saw what God did, turned their hearts. Elijah had come to accomplish one thing: turn the people's hearts back to God, away from Baal. I believe that the Spirit of God moved Elijah to do exactly what he did. He did it for the glory of God, not for himself, not to glorify himself. But he did that for the purpose of bringing the people back to the God of Israel. Now, Elijah wasn't the one responsible for the way that things came out. God was. And that's what we've got to get our focus on. That's what we have to get our eyes on. It needs to be God that is doing what gets done, not the people. You and I can't do anything. God has to do it. He didn't get up and say, watch me, people. See what I'm going to do. Elijah didn't do that. He simply expected God to respond as only God could. He let God do the things that needed to be done. And sometimes you and I try and help God out. We think we know what needs to be done, and so we jump right in there and do it. But people, there's no fire in that. Because you and I are not capable of bringing the fire of God into any situation. maybe that's why, over the years, the church has been undergoing a change. Churches are dying out because the fire is gone. And that's why I believe that we need the fire of God, not just in the church. It's not going to happen there first. It's going to have to happen in our hearts. That's where it's going to have to happen. There used to be men who had the fire of God in their hearts. And they would go out, and that fire would attract people, attract large audiences. And they would speak. Billy Graham could go anywhere in the world. His message was that God loves you, and that's where the fire of God is. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, these men had the fire of God burning within them. And they went where God sent them, and people responded, and the fire spread. That's what we're going to have to pursue. That's what we're going to have to find. I can't help but wonder if sometimes we don't give God a chance to do what needs to be done. We do it ourselves. We get in there and expect that we're the ones who need to do this. And that's not the way it works. Elijah, when he spoke to the children of Israel, knew that God would have to provide a spectacular answer in order for them to respond. Respond in a way that the fire was rekindled in their hearts. Somewhere along the way, I believe the church has forgotten that it's God who has to provide the fire. We go around with matches thinking we can light some fires. We can't do it, people. Maybe that's why we don't see the fire of God anymore. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. You see, after the Lord answered in prayer, Elijah had some housekeeping to do. He had to clean up the garbage that had caused the house to smell. And so the next thing he did was get rid of the prophets of Baal. That sort of completed the job. Now, time for application, because there is an application for all of us. We need to sort of think and just meditate on this a little bit, maybe even this afternoon when you get home. Why did God share this with us in His Word? Was it just a nice story? Just something that sort of glorified God for a minute? We come back to the questions. When's the last time that you experienced the fire of God in your life? That might be a very difficult question for some of us to answer. Some might say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever experienced that. Have you ever experienced the fire of God? And many Christians today could not answer yes. Many. Most. Because the fire of God has sort of disappeared. It's still there, but it's not burning brightly. And it's something that we're going to have to pray about and plead with God about. This morning, if I know my heart, and I know the heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? But if I know my heart, I would love to see the fire of God experienced in the lives of everyone sitting in this auditorium this morning. Because that's God's way. That's what He wants. And that's what it's going to take for you and I to be where God wants us to be. We need to have His fire burning in our hearts. Most Christians think that they're just fine without the fire of God. They're content to be where they're at. But until you experience the fire of God in your heart, you will not be complete. Let me say that again. Until you experience the fire of God in your heart, you will not be complete. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? I'm going to show you in just a minute. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not written in God's Word. And I expect you to verify that I am telling you the truth. That I'm telling you what God's Word says. Most Christians today don't know anything about the fire of God. Now, many of you, I know many of you experienced it at some point in your life. And I know one of the times that you experienced it was when you were first saved, the day you were saved. You had a fire burning to share what had just happened to you with the people around you. And you tried. But you didn't have any Bible knowledge, at least most of us didn't. You didn't know how to go about it because you hadn't read the Word, you hadn't matured in the Word. And the world was like a candle snuffer, and it snuffed out the fire. I'll give you an illustration. All of you, most of you, have had a candle, and you snuff it out with a candle snuffer or with some object, and you'd lift it up again, and there's a little bit of smoke, and there's just a little bit of glow on the wick. And that's where most Christians are today, is that little bit of glow and a little bit of smoke, but no fire. And I really hope that as we get into the New Testament in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be a little long today, but we're going to be long. I want you to see God's plan for you and His plan for your life, because this is His plan for your life. I want to give you the scripture to prove it. I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We're jumped out of the Old Testament into the new. Acts 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind, rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other language tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking the gospel. They were speaking the plan of salvation to everyone who was there in the house with them. And to all of those who came running because of the commotion that was going on. Now, fire indicates power. And a forest fire is very powerful. A house fire is very powerful in that it does a lot of destruction. Fire can even be used to sterilize. God wants his fire in our lives, which was his intention from the beginning on the day of Pentecost. We're not done yet, people. It's too bad that the scripture uses the expression like as of fire, because I believe that the disciples went out with the fire of God burning in their hearts to commission the New Testament church. Right now, I think that the fire has all but gone out. There are still a few sparks smoldering here and there, but that doesn't seem to be very evident even. That's not the way that Jesus intended it to be. Let me share a verse with you, which is going to be our object of search for the next few Sundays. This verse was spoken by John the Baptist regarding the ministry of Jesus. And I'll warn you right now, don't miss any Sunday mornings, because we're going to be pleading and looking for the fire of God upon this ministry and in the hearts of this people. The verse is Matthew 3, 12. Well, I'll include 12. It's 3:11, Matthew 3:11. Turn there with me, if you will, because this is a key verse to what we're talking about this morning. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist was baptizing. People were coming to him because they were cold and indifferent to the law, to the temple, to the synagogue. They were coming to be baptized to wash away their sins. And John the Baptist uttered these words, and I want you to remember them. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, next three words, and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Holy Spirit chose to use John the Baptist to prophesy about the fire of God in the life of the Christian. God's fire is supposed to be a part of the Christian experience. It is supposed to be. We're supposed to have it in our hearts. It should be burning in our hearts right now. driving us to a greater and higher service for Jesus. Like I said earlier, I believe when we were first saved, it did flicker a little bit. But the cares of the world and the world around us snuffed it out. This coming week, think about what John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11. What Jesus was going to do for his followers. Said he would baptize with the Holy Spirit, and I believe that most of us are, if not all of us here this morning, are baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's living within our hearts. So where's the rest of the verse? And with fire. It's sort of scary. Makes me wonder, Lord, where'd I lose it? How did I let it go out? And every one of us have probably got reasons. The question this morning as we close is this. Will you pray for the fire of God in your heart? Will you pray for the fire of God in your heart? It's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be burning. Next Sunday, I'll share some things with you about people who have been here in this church who had that fire. You've seen them. You've talked to them. You've heard them. It's real, people. We just need to seek it. Until we find it, we need to do whatever it takes to let God rekindle it in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we know what your word says. We know that your word is true. So, Father, we ask, will you help us? Will you help us to find your fire in our hearts? Father, may your fire set us on fire for Jesus. May others see your fire burning in our hearts. And Father, may you be glorified by everything that is done. As you sent your fire for Elijah, send your fire for us and let it burn in our hearts. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.